Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's rivalry week.
Everett Hayes does kick an onsider. The ball in the air and recovered by the Beavers.
Ducks and Beavers go toe-to-toe this week.
They call it the Civil War out here in the Great Northwest.
This platypus of a show could not be more opposite.
This one is pure fun. Revitalizes the whole state every year.
Andy Dirt Johnson.
I've never in my lifetime watched an Oregon game and the game be over that quickly.
Brandon Spray.
I know bad things have happened to you. I'm totally with you on that. It shouldn't be this bad.
This is a Rivalry Week edition of Dirt and Spray. Brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back in the second hour. Dirt and Spray here on 105.1 The Fan. Fan Sports Network, a little late, a little over the clock there. We apologize for running late on the Magic Hat. The damn Magic Hat, man.
It'll get to you sometimes. Jim Harbaugh stories will do it to you.
There's more juice in there, too. I omitted some of the stories.
I could listen to Jim Harbaugh stories for 4 hours. He's that interesting of a person.
A lot to get to here in the second hour of the program. We will have Josh Pate join us at 7:40.
Yeah.
So we'll dive into some college football chatter with Pate State University. There was a local, we're going to start with a local story, but there's another local story that kind of flying under the radar of just like, oh, that happened. Okay. And then why is this the right narrative about this team at this point of the college football season? We'll get to that coming up. But we start the second hour. It is rivalry weekend, as you've heard, in all the opens of all the shows.
Yes, it is. The traditional Civil War weekend. Oh, wait. No, it's not.
Well, I mean, it's just both rivalry games. One might be closer than the other, I guess, in points in that matter. But, like, both are kind of coming in with zero juice and totally flat, given what the Cougs just did against North Texas.
Yes.
And what Oregon State just did at Texas Tech.
Last year, at least, you had a little bit going in because, remember, Oregon had been really bad in their first two games. And Oregon State was 2-0. So the thought was, like, is this actually going to be a game? It didn't end up being one. But at least going into it, we had that talking point. And then the Cougs and the Huskies were playing in Seattle, and he had Fish in his first year, and they, you know, weren't quite sure.
Tier was good.
The tier was good, and so there was a lot more juice, I would say, going into the games last year, and one of them ended up being a phenomenal football game.
A great football game that had Washington State beating Washington.
They just won it last year.
Doesn't feel that way this year.
No.
I tend to lean that Washington is going to house them. They were a drive away from losing to Idaho, but they beat San Diego State, so we kind of thought something different of them. Oregon State, this came from the Oregonian, OregonLive.com, our friend Bill Orem, the first to report it, that Oregon State did agree to continue the rivalry starting back up in 2027, and it will run through at least 2032. Now, here is, Scott Barnes saying, I listen to the fans, and I hear you, like, you have shown zero indication you're hearing anything outside of cha-ching, the paycheck is cashed.
And I wonder, what is the paycheck? Is there any? I didn't see the details on how much is going one way or the other.
That's what I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't know if anybody was referencing was his individual paycheck.
Oh, for sure, yes.
Because he doesn't listen to anybody.
No, his check clears every 2 weeks.
He still thinks Trent Bray is the guy. Yeah. I mean, Are you watching football? Are you watching the games? Okay. But the rivalry is going to kick back up after next year.
Yeah.
So they'll take a year off, first time in 80 years, and then they'll pick it back up in 2027, starting in Eugene. And yeah, as many Beaver fans noted, thanks for listening to us, Scott Barnes. We don't get the game at home until 2028.
Yeah, you get back-to-back games in Eugene. You really won that negotiation down there in Corvallis. Now, Oregon's side of this is simply that they, in odd years, they only play four conference games
yes.
at home. And so they were saying, if you want to start this and play in 2027, we have to play it in Eugene because we have to play seven home games in order to make the money that we need to make for the year. And in 2028, we can go on the road because we get five home conference games, and so we can play two non-conference games at home and have one be on the road. And that's where I just didn't quite get it from Oregon State side of. If that was the stance from Oregon, why wouldn't you just say, okay, let's start the series in 2028 to get a small moral victory? Just a little bit. People still don't want the game to happen. I think the majority of your fan base is done with it, and I don't blame you at all. And my take on it the entire time has been, whatever Oregon State wants to do, I'm cool with. If you guys want to cancel the game, cancel the game. I get nothing out of it anymore and won't get anything out of it likely this weekend.
You get a free dub. You get the in-state bragging rights.
Yeah, I'm not one of those Duck fans that enjoys the like punching down and making fun of Oregon State for what has transpired to them. I don't get anything out of that. I have a lot of friends and family, and I work with somebody who is a Beaver fan. I work with two people who are Beaver fans, and none of this has been enjoyable for me to see what has happened to their program. That was the epitome of Scott Barnes not reading the room. So if Oregon's coming to the table and saying, we want to play the game, but if you want to play in 2027, it's got to be at Autzen, why isn't the simple counter negotiation just to be like, okay, let's start the game in 2028 then? That way, the last game that was played would be this year in Eugene, and then the next time the Civil War restarts is in 2028 in Corvallis, and you don't have back-to-back games that are happening in Eugene.
So you can watch the show on YouTube. You can chime in at the fan text line, 503-864-6326. And if this has come out and we're just missing it, please let us know. Like, text police, be on alert here. My only counter is there has to be money involved, right?
I would tend to think so, but
Oregon
I don't
State
know.
Because Oregon State is signing up to get their ass kicked.
If Oregon's going to Corvallis, I don't know. Is Oregon going to pay to go play a road non-conference game in Corvallis? I don't think you're getting money for that game. You might get a paycheck for coming to Eugene.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, yeah. Did he hear? Because to me, look, I'm not sourcing this out by reporting. I'm just giving an opinion.
Yeah.
I took his supporting Trent Bray comments as we're cheap. So, like, the bragging of the war chest means nothing to me as of right now.
Right. What are we doing with the war chest? Where's that going? Is that just sitting in an account somewhere?
Andy, you got to preserve it.
Yeah, you got to.
And maybe he'll end up being the AD who does the classic, support the guy publicly, and then fire him in a week or two.
Yeah, there's the idea of what else is he supposed to say publicly. You know, we're starting to question our head coach.
Yeah, well, the biggest red flag of that was talking publicly because he was never going to come out and not support him. So what do? You don't talk.
Yeah. Just don't do an interview.
You stay silent and you wait to see what happens in a quote-unquote rivalry game. So to me, it smells, you could say, well, why didn't you wait out for 2028? It smells like money, but again, if it comes out that they're not getting any money and they're just signing up for 2027 to get it back for the sake of having it back, then okay, then that's that. But I don't know. It's
I think the question would be like for Oregon State fan, because again, I think this debate should be on your side of this and not mine at all. Like this should all be determined by Oregon State. They're the ones that got screwed over here.
Well, I don't think that's accurate. I think Oregon is sitting in they're sitting on the perch and they're in a position where they can say like who we play matters to people, right? So
yeah.
Like we can choose to play Oregon State for the sake of saying we're preserving it. We care about the rivalry. That's a public win for them. They also could look at it secretly behind the scenes of like, yeah, it's a win.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly how they view it.
They could also say no to this and say, let's schedule a better game. And
I think you're giving them I think Oregon is getting the absolute win here because they are in a conference now that's going to force them to travel a ton. Dan Lanning highlighted that, and I was surprised he said it on Monday at his press conference where he was asked about continuing the rivalry, and he basically said, you know, it's nice to have a game that's right down the road.
And
we got to fly to Rutgers for a conference game this year. We just had to go to Chicago for our first Big Ten game. So, yeah, having a non-conference game that's on the road, that's a 40-minute bus ride to get there, is a pretty nice thing for us to be able to do. I think the question I would have for Oregon State fan, and maybe the answer isn't known amongst the fan base right now,
mm-hmm.
in the future, what do you want the non-conference to look like? Because I think there's different roads that you can kind of go down, and they've clearly picked the road that they want. They want to play Oregon every year if they can.
Easy answer.
Do you want three patsies three automatic wins? Do you want a massive paycheck in terms of, like, let's go on the road and play Ohio State, Alabama, and play one of these non-conference games on the road to get a paycheck?
Well, you would only have two because this is your non-conference.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying not having this being decided. Like, if you were Scott Barnes, what would you want the non-conference to look like? If you're taking Oregon off the board.
Sure.
Or maybe some fans want Oregon on the board and then two patsies along with it and try and get two wins, and then you play Oregon every year to keep the rivalry alive.
Well, I think until they relieve Bray of the job, he's the guy, right? So, like, as long as he's in charge, I would just say whether it's Bray or it's another coach, it's the easiest answer. It should be three patsies.
Three patsies.
You should be doing everything you possibly can to get yourself to halfway of a bowl.
I tend to agree with
that. And then if it's Bray, and boy, we'll be eating a lot of crow if it's Bray, but if it's another person and you do build this up and you find some success in a turnaround in the Pac-12, the new Pac-12.
Yeah.
And I know I've used them too much, so I apologize for that. Then I think you go Tulane. We have established something. We're good. We're getting good players. We can play Duke and whoop their ass. And I think until you get to that point, it should be automatically three patsies. And then if you ever get to a point back to where you were with Jonathan Smith at the peak, yeah, go schedule Minnesota. Go schedule Kentucky.
Sure.
Go get a
Northwestern, winnable Power Four,
and you can say those are patsies too. Yeah, but they're in the Big Ten. They're
a Power Conference team. Yeah,
Go get one, because you know what? Tulane beat Duke, and maybe Duke won't be that amazing. We're going to look back and say, well, they got the Power Four win, and
yeah, it looks good on your resume at the end of the year.
And they won their conference, and here we go, playoff. Like,
yeah, Florida might suck, but South Florida getting that win was a big deal for them.
Because they lost to Miami, and right. It doesn't matter because South Florida won in week one against a ranked Boise team, Boise team that has respect to people.
And then Florida was ranked
and
two.
And they beat Florida in the swamp, and even if Florida is 7-5 or 6-6, they're still going to get that's an SEC road win.
Yeah.
You're doing everything you can to preserve a great record, and to put yourself in the best possible place with your new situation, and that is, can we be the group of six playoff representative? So the easiest answer is it should be three patsies.
Yeah,
but they have now signed up for just two options, two available options.
Well, it should be more than that, right? Because I think you'll be able to, if I'm not wrong, there's nine teams in the new Pac-12 iteration, nine football teams.
I think it's eight.
Is it eight?
Swag, can you... Oh God, I can't...
I mean, what's our number for Pac-12 football teams?
I thought they just got to eight with
Texas
State.
So you're only going to play seven conference games. So you're going to have five non-conference games every year.
So you should have more patsies.
Which is insane. And maybe that changes involves... I'm sure they're eventually going to add more teams down the road.
They're playing Washington State twice this year.
Well, yeah. And so you'll have 7-5. So you'll still have the ability to go schedule some patsies in non-conference or maybe go get paydays. And maybe the answer is they want to be somewhere in the middle of this. Right. I just... everything about this week sucks. It just... I'm getting nothing out of it. I know we sold it, and there's that, like, rah-rah. For anybody who grew up in the state, especially in our era. Like,
I don't think there's rah-rah this week.
No, I don't think there's any. Like, to me, if you're Swag's age, you remember when both programs were nothing, and you remember toilet bowls and nothing games. If you're more our age, like, the Civil War was one of the biggest rivalry games in college football, it felt like, for a decade. Like, it was truly back and forth. You had years where they came in preseason
in
rank
our
number
bubble,
one.
It was.
In our bubble, from that, like, 2000, sure, yes. When I turned 11 years old, to, like, 2009, every single year, not every game was great. Some of them were blowouts one way or the other. Joey threw five picks. There was a game in the fog.
Like, but it was the home team.
But it was the home team that was winning every year. And seemingly, you had Oregon go to a Fiesta Bowl. You had Oregon State go to a Fiesta Bowl. You had games where Oregon State was playing to go to the Rose Bowl. You had the winner going to the Rose Bowl in 2009. Like, it was one of the best and most competitive rivalries that ever existed in college football. It felt like, for a 10-year span, where at moments it felt like the eyes of the college football world were on our little state and our little game at
the
end of the year.
For sure.
And it felt great. And now to try and keep going in September when the game's not in November and you're not going to go back to traditionally when it was played and you're playing back-to-back games now in Eugene, even as a Duck, like I get nothing out of them killing Oregon State this weekend. There's no pridefulness. There's no, that's awesome. I mean, my mindset has kind of shifted to, we're playing Penn State next weekend already.
Yeah.
And let's get out of this game healthy. I don't really care what the final score is. Next weekend is a massive game that I can't wait for. But all of it is just, it's genuinely sad with everything that's happened around it.
I want to ask this question, then we'll go to break here because we're already against it. Oregon State's through 2032 with Oregon. It's looking out ahead, and we have so many unknowns that we can't answer here. Like, that's so far away in that sport.
A very long ways away.
Do you look at that game and say 2032, they get to a point within that time frame where this is like a 10-point difference? Can they get back to ever making this a game in that window? Talk a little bit about that. And one team to keep an eye on of like, why is this still a narrative for them? That's next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, poll question is up at Dirt and Sprague. That's the show Twitter account. Oregon and Oregon State have agreed to pick the Civil War back up in 2027, and will go to at least 2032. Within that time, will Oregon State make that game competitive again? Yes or no at Dirt and Sprague?
It's a long ways off, man. It's a long ways off.
It is.
I don't.
That could be year 2032. Could be year three for Dan Lanning at Alabama.
Very well could be. It could be year three for him as the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. Nobody has any clue how this is all going to play out, right?
Remarkable.
So yeah, I mean, the idea that Oregon State can never make it competitive again is ridiculous. Of course they can. Of course there will be years. Oregon will always dominate the rivalry, and they largely did for the last 25 years.
No doubt.
Like you
no
had
doubt.
That back and forth in the early 2000s where the home team won every year, and then once 2009 hit, it's been an incredibly one sided rivalry for a very long time, and that's why 2016 was a big deal when Gary Anderson said, "Go Beavs, how about that?"
Yeah, but that
the
was
4-8
like,
Beavs won.
Hey, they're both 4-8.
Sure, I'm not saying it was something, but I'm just like, that ended the streak. I think Oregon had won 8 in a row or 7 in a row or whatever the number was at that point. And then Oregon bounced back with a few more wins. And then, you know, Oregon State got them in the COVID year. And then they won in year one under Lanning with their 19 straight runs. But the game has largely been dominated by Oregon, and it will continue to do so. I would argue probably more so than it had been. But the idea that Oregon State can never make this game competitive, I have no clue what the Oregon State program is going to look like,
I know.
What their conference looks like, who their head coach is going to be. Like Washington State last year, and I get it, they're in very different situations. Washington State won the Apple Cup last year. After getting relegated out of their conference because Washington's head coach left, they brought in Jed Fish, and they didn't have a great season in year one under a new head coach. So, yes, that possibility exists that it could happen to Oregon in a year in which Oregon State maybe has their guy and they figured it out and they're a 9-win team that season and Oregon's replacing a head coach. Of course the possibility exists that this could be a close game again.
Somebody says, I'm a Duck grad somewhere in between y'all and age, so my Civil War memory begins somewhere in the late 80s. As crazy as it sounds, I bet OSU pulls off Sorry, these texts. Basically pulls off an upset one of these years.
Yeah.
2032 just being so far. So you'd vote yes on that just because of the time?
I would just because it's, yeah. I mean, it's 7 years from now.
Like, I know.
If Dan Lanning's still at Oregon and they're humming, then no, I don't think Oregon State's going to be competitive or win one of these games. Is he going to be here in 7 years? Is he still going to be the Oregon head coach? Are they like? I have no clue what the future looks like. So it's very hard, but I would, just based on the possibility of it happening, you have to say yes.
I vote yes because I want to say at some point Oregon State wakes up and realize their football program and their athletic department matters.
Maybe the president should care about sports and the
But she publicly does. She does interviews and tells you how great it all is.
She'll go on the CW and then give Scott Barnes an award the week after losing 45-14 to
Well, he's the Beaver champion, don't you know?
He is the Beaver champion.
Come on.
He is. How do you not give the Beaver champion the Beaver champion award? He's got to win an award. For what? I don't know. Got to give him an award.
The champion of Beavers.
That's exactly what he is. I was scrolling through the text line in the commercial break, and the majority of Oregon State fan. I think Oregon fan is largely indifferent on this. If you put up a poll question and say, do you want to keep playing the game? They'll say, yes, let's keep the nostalgia alive. And it's an automatic win in the minds of most Oregon fans, which is, again, why I go back to, I think this should be decided on Oregon State's side. And this feels like, look, again, maybe this ends up aging well for Oregon State and they make the right hire and Dan Lanning leaves. And in 2028, they get the game back in Corvallis and they win. And we laugh about how nobody wanted to play this game again. This seemed like it was an opportunity for a nice little PR win for Barnes of saying, you know what? No. Not on your terms. You guys left us. We need to chart our own path. Let's come up with different unique ways to schedule, and we'll go get a paycheck at Alabama if we need to go get a paycheck and get our asses kicked. Mm. But I think there could have been a this could have been a moment for the fan base to come together and say, you know what, Barnes, finally, thank you for listening, because almost every single comment we're getting from Oregon State side of this is they want nothing to do with the game anymore.
Well, much like Scott Barnes for me, you can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. You know what? I know he's not watching Oregon State. Like, he probably saw a little bit of the Texas Tech game, our buddy Josh Pate.
Yeah.
I want to get his read on teams in this situation.
I'm going to ask Bill Riley about this because they had this with Utah State. The Utah State, they played every Utah and Utah State played every year. And then Utah left the Mountain West.
Well, didn't Utah and BYU go through a few years where they absolutely disappeared did, and then they came back? Yeah. And
now they're both in the Big 12 again, so they're going to play again. I think it's a protected rivalry in that conference, but this has happened many a time.
Yeah, maybe
it's
a better question for Bill because he's the play-by-play guy of a program who's gone through this in two different
and now Utah State is back in a more respected conference, I would say, than what the Mountain West was. It's a better version of it. And they've played a couple of times in the last handful of years, but after 2012, I think was the last time it ended as a year-in and year-out thing, and they've only played twice since then.
He says OSU fans and their entire program has loser energy.
I mean, I would too, dude. Like, if I got
That'd
kicked to the curb,
not
like,
to.
This is the part of stuff. Like, I
don't think all
I can't
OSU
stand people
do.
In my fan base when they do stuff like this, and I see a lot of it online.
Well, I think that person is more reacting to some social media stuff, and I would say most OSU fans are ticked off, pissed, and want change. They want this athletic department to care. Progress forward.
Like, I think there's this idea
from
some Beaver fans as if they have been a great program for a long time and look what you took away from us. And that's not true. There's been a lot of really bad years that have happened in that football program. But imagine being a fan of a team that had just won 10 games, had an alma mater, you know, an alumnus as their head coach in Jonathan Smith. They had just refinished half of their stadium. And right after you win 10 games and feel like you're finally on firm footing for the first time since when as a program, how long it had been since, you know, maybe one of the peak years under Riley in like 2010, that's how long it had been. And then everything gets pulled out from underneath you. Like, I don't blame Oregon State fan at all for feeling the way that they feel and being as angry as they are.
A short segment's going to follow. And then Josh Pate, Pate State University, next on The Fan. All right, Pate State University is going to hop on in a second. I have a question for you that you don't have enough time to dive into, unfortunately.
You want to give it to me and let it marinate for a little bit?
Well, I've wanted to talk about this all week. I'm not saying they're not talented. I'm not saying they're not good. I've seen evidence that they can compete with good teams.
Oh.
Is it not odd to you or anybody else watching college football that a team is talked about and so highly thought of sitting at 0-2? Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And like you can say, well, Sprague.
They played two tough teams.
Okay.
And lost by 4 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of those was at home.
One of them was at home.
Yeah.
Very well was.
Okay. All right.
So what's the thought? You don't think they should be ranked in the top 25?
I don't even know. If you press me and said most 25 most talented rosters, I wouldn't argue Notre Dame isn't. I just.
Their defense is supposed to be really good, and that has not been the case through the first two games. That was their calling card coming in.
They got shredded last weekend.
Marcel Reed torched them.
I just find it odd that I'm looking at an 0-2
team in the top 25.
And they're being talked about like they're still one of the top blank teams in college football.
Notre Dame's probably going to do it again. Just watch. Last year they lost to, I always get it wrong, was it Ball State?
Northern Illinois.
I don't know why I always say Ball State. Northern Illinois got them by a field goal. And we all made
ball sacked.
And then we all laughed at them and said, ha, 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 there goes Notre Dame. And then they rattled off every game the rest of the way and played in the national championship game. So I'm going to laugh if that ends up happening at the end of the year. I don't think they're as good this year, though, as they were last year. primarily because their quarterback play isn't quite what it was. CJ Carr could get better. He's young. He shows flashes, but he's also a freshman and he's going to make mistakes.
It's not Notre Dame because you're a Rudy fan. Who is the program? If they were sitting 0-2, this would piss you off that they're still being talked about like this.
Oh, God, that's too... I don't have enough time. Penn State. Yeah, Penn State being 0-2 would be a problem. But if they were 0-2, nobody would talk about them because they would have lost to Villanova and FIU or whoever they played out of the gate.
They had lost to two great teams. Yeah. Josh Pate, Pate State University, joins us every Thursday at 7:40. He hops on next on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair. The best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. 7:41. It's a Thursday. Looking at my clock. Yep, indeed. Looking at my Gucci. It's about that time. Josh Pate, Josh Pate College Football Show on Twitter at Josh Pate CFB joins us every Thursday at 7:40 to talk all things college football. Good morning, Josh. If you were to wager a month's paycheck on one team to win the national championship right at this moment, who are you laying it down on?
That's not bad feedback. That's me making a weird noise with my mouth. I can't answer Miami because that's Mario, and no one wants to hear that up there. I can answer Ohio State, but that's a conference opponent. And by the way, what I'm doing here is pandering. I don't actually want to give you an honest answer. I just want to score points. So, hey, I got one. Oregon.
Hey, oh, wow. There you
go.
That's
weird. You know, you subscribe to a show on YouTube. It's easy. All you got to do is click the button. It's very simple. You can hear these kind of takes every night.
It sounds like, based on what I'm hearing from you, because, like, all jokes aside, people that are up here with Mario, I think they would just say they don't trust his clock management or there's something in his coaching in-game that would lead them to that. It sounds like you actually really do think that team could be built to do it, though, all jokes aside.
Oh, dude, they're good. They're good now. They're not – I'm going to hesitate to say this, so I'm going to say it, but in lowercase. Pretend I'm saying this in pencil. They don't have many weaknesses. Mm. Now, why I say that in lowercase is we've only seen a couple of games, three games or whatever, and they haven't faced really a passing game that can fully test their secondary. So we could have still a pretty flawed secondary that just hasn't been exposed yet. There could be that crack in the dam. We just haven't gotten the water pressure, my favorite metaphor. But they've got a great offensive line. They got a great stable of tailbacks. They ended up hitting a grand slam with Carson Beck at quarterback. They lost their top six dozen or half dozen pass catchers, and they seem upgraded somehow. I don't know how you do that. Well, yeah, I do. The portal is how you do that. And they went and got Corey Heatherman as their defensive coordinator, and at the very least, their defensive production looks significantly improved. The best compliment I could give is you don't need to look at their stats. If you just go pop on a condensed game, just watch how hard they play. They may not always be in the right place. They are hair on fire every play, wire to wire, and I trust that at least the floor of that defense is going to be good enough. It could be great, by the way. I'm trying to be conservative on this. It could be really good. I just don't want to get hurt you know, I don't want to get hurt.
Well, we all know it's not your fault if they don't do it, right? It's, you know, it's their the player's fault. Yeah. It's Mario's fault. But, you know, we know where to share the blame here. I do credit you, too, because there is interest in that game in Miami this weekend. Is Lagway going to throw five picks again? Does Napier get turfed in Miami, you know, or you know, before jumping on the plane again? But I think you're making the right call in where you're going this weekend. Now, I have, you know, a lot of family in the Omaha, Nebraska area. I've had the chance to go to a few Nebraska games in my life. We were there when Oregon and Nebraska played. I want to say that was 2016. One of the greatest stadiums. Where's the excitement level for Nebraska, Michigan, and checking a new stadium off the list this weekend?
It's a 10 because I've not, like you said, I've never been there, and I've been to most of. I think I've been to every other place that would be quote unquote bucket list ish, except this one. I haven't been to this one, so we got that going on. Going up there with Compton and Lewan, so we got the whole bus and bowl angle going on with Michigan and Nebraska. We've got a CBS game, so I get to see a lot of my former employees, some of whom I miss, others of whom just exist, and so I'm looking forward to that. And I am also, I love the professionalism, and I am also looking forward to this whole concept that I have bought into. It's not, therefore, it's not propaganda. It has to be fact because I bought into it, and that is year three Matt Rhule is just this scientific thing wherein great things happen. And if that is true, then it will start to happen this Saturday. So I have predicted a Nebraska win. I'm going to be there. I was there when Tennessee took down Alabama, and I've never witnessed euphoria like that. The literal show called Euphoria on HBO Max was not as incredible as the euphoric nature of Tennessee taking down Alabama. And I don't recommend either of you watch that show because you'll lose faith in the youth of America, but I did watch it just so I could have a comparative analysis ready. I think if Nebraska beats Michigan, it will match the euphoria that Tennessee had when they were beating Alabama, because these people have been through it. I talk about them like they're a tribe out on an island somewhere. These people have been through it, and they've had the close loss, the one possession game stat for a number of years, and they had the Mike Riley era and the tail end of the Bo Pelini era and just a lot of forgettable eras. The whole Nebraska eras tour is one to forget. If they can get this one, they don't lock up anything, of course, but I think it is a giant psychological hurdle cleared. And so when I tell you it's a 10 out of 10, it is really, on the excitement scale, a 10 out of 10.
Well, follow up on that, Paige, because this is something you talked about, and we talked about going into the year with you, of, you know, one of the narratives that you pointed to in the Big Ten Conference for a long time is, what is that next tier, and can anybody rise out of that next tier? Is it anything more than Oregon, Penn State, and Ohio State, or is it a deeper race than that, right? I'm just curious now that we're and maybe it's Nebraska this weekend. You know, maybe it's the Huskies for you. USC has been making some noise. They got Michigan State on Saturday. Illinois, Indiana play an interesting game, and then Illinois gets USC at home in the big new kickoff. Where are you at on that second tier of the Big Ten, and are you a believer that one of those teams has the ability to scale up and join a Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State?
Well, so that's twofold. I'm still out on it. That's why we're going to play games like this. That's why we got Illinois, Indiana coming up, but really I'm more looking forward to USC, Illinois. So that's part one. Part one is just we have to see those teams do it. Part two is we still got to peg where Ohio State really is, where Oregon really is, where Penn State really is. Because I'm watching the SEC, for example, and I don't know that there's a shelf one team down there. I look at it as a bunch of them on shelf two and a bunch of them on shelf three. There also may not be any shelf fours. It's just all compacted towards the middle. I don't think that's the Big Ten. I certainly know there's some bottom shelfers in the Big Ten. My goodness, are there some shelf fours in the Big Ten. Some of them are on the ground. Like, they're down below the non-name brand cereal. That's how bad some of the bottom of the Big Ten is. Mm. But as far as that Tier 1, Tier 2, yeah, I agree. I'm really about to say this. I agree with myself. I made a good point on that. I'm completely on board with myself. That is still the biggest story in that conference, but I don't know that we've seen it start to play itself out. I think we've got a bunch of games, this one included, that are sort of circle games to starting to put those puzzle pieces together.
This is Josh Pate. He joins us every Thursday at 7:40, diving into all things college football. He'll be in Lincoln, Nebraska, to where I'll be curious to hear the show come Sunday. I know you love to dabble in the loudest venue. I know when you went to Autzen for the first time, for example, you had noted how incredibly loud Autzen Stadium is, and you have talked about that before. That, to me, I've heard Autzen loud. That Lincoln game where we went in 2016 dirt when Oregon went for two every time and lost.
Yeah, thanks for that reminder.
Dude, my ears were ringing. It's probably one of, if not the loudest venue I've been to, so I'll be curious to hear your feedback on that on Sunday. You can find Josh on YouTube with the Josh Pate College Football Show. You already subscribed to it anyway. And give him a follow on socials, at Josh Pate CFB, and follow him on Instagram. Look for the Ramen Noodle Express picks on Friday night lines. You know, in the way that many in my life, and probably your life as well, especially out west, we would hear how Arizona State's a sleeping giant. And, you know, most of it was just people pointing out how hot the women were, and football players would gravitate towards that. They largely never won and accomplished much. Well, Kenny Dillingham comes in, boom, they win the Big 12. Is Texas A&M kind of the next this, the ASU of my life, where my whole life it's A&M, and it's cultish, and it's, oh, look at all these people yelling, but they never quite accomplish stuff until maybe Elko. Is Elko the thing to make A&M finally worth all the hype?
Here's what I appreciate about you and this entire radio station, this entire vibe that I get anytime that I come on with you guys. You don't even skirt up against what they say about Texas A&M in the South. You are too mature. You're too professional. Let me tell you what the knock is about A&M in the South. How in the world is a university with no female cheerleaders about to do anything in this conference? That's what they yell in your face. And you guys are above that.
Wait, they don't have any female cheerleaders at A&M? They don't have female cheerleaders?
Oh, buddy. If you're serious about this, I've got some material. I got some literature I need to send you. Yeah, it's a different world. You use the word cult, and you have no idea what kind of can of worms I'm about to open for you if you're really unaware of what A&M is about.
I mean, I've seen the singing and the, you know, the chanting and
so the guys in overalls are cheerleaders.
It's the only overall guys. They have no females on the sideline.
I can't, in strong enough terms, encourage you to come to a game. Okay. They don't call them games. They call them experiences.
Of course.
You need to come to an experience. A&M with me. Let me quickly answer your question.
Yeah.
Yes, A&M's that next team. Okay, now that the question's answered, let me get back to this. I kid you not, I got some executive types, some management types from CBS where I was at last year, and we were going to go to an A&M game. Now, these are Manhattan elites. These are Martha's Vineyard sweater vest types. So they have never, I mean, they've never even been like east of Brooklyn, never mind being to the heartland of America. And so I convinced them to come with me, and I hit up Billy Lucci, who's about as tied in as could possibly be at A&M, and I get sideline passes, and I get access to like the best country clubs on Friday night, because a country club in College Station, Texas, and Bryan, Texas, is insane. You go out in the middle of nowhere. And everybody's a billionaire, by the way. They all got, like, button-down T-shirts tucked into blue jeans with no belt. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen. Everyone's worth $1 billion. And there are lit torches, and they do the same things you see on game day. They do what is called the Aggie War Hymn, which is where they all interlock arms, and there's just this chanting. And I truthfully, I still don't even know what they're saying. But they're going back and forth, and this is not at a game. This is, like, right in line with saying grace before they eat supper. And I'm telling you, it was probably 63, 64 degrees. I've never seen management sweat like that. They knew they were out of their element immediately. They were looking for the exit door, and there are none. There are only entrances. There are no exits. I could not have had a better time. I love it, man. I blend in out there. I'm not of them, but I blend in out there seamlessly. I wear the white T-shirt. No one's coming for me if it goes sideways. Management was, they were looking for the escape route.
You're an adopted member of the tribe. That is a phenomenal story. And now on my bucket list to get to a game. Talk about bucket list for you, Nebraska. I got to get to a game down there. Now, I do want to ask, Oregon plays Oregon State this weekend. It's a Civil War. Oregon State fan is very angry that the game is going to be continued and the programs have separated conferences. And, if you want to have an answer on that, you can if you have any thoughts on that game. But also, I do think the majority of people on one side of this rivalry are looking towards what's happening next week. And I'm just curious to get an early look at Oregon-Penn State for you. Penn State has played nobody, but who has played anybody, right? Majority of teams haven't faced anybody tough. They've been sluggish out of the gate. Now they get a bye. That's lovely timing. And do we want to make a Fall Don't Lie tour announcement maybe on a Thursday the week before?
You know, this is one of those rare cases where I tell you I don't know where I'm going, and I'm not lying. Most of the time I'm just lying to your face. But this time I really don't know where I'm going yet. I am actually having conversations about that this morning because I do believe – that I'm going to pull off a twofer next week.
Ooh, there you go.
So we've got the morning slate, and I got to get through this quick because I got to answer your question. You've got Notre Dame at Arkansas or USC at Illinois. Those are 11 a.m. Central kickoffs. And then you could pair that with either Alabama at Georgia or Oregon at Penn State in the night. So that's the extreme first world problem I'm dealing with next week. As for this week, I really don't know what you can say about it because you know me. I mean, you guys have known me for a long time, so you know I love the more pageantry, tradition-based aspect mm-hmm. of college football. I think it's insane that Oregon's in the Big Ten, but they are. And I think it's insane that rivalries have had to take a back seat to, you know, the reshaping and reimagining of college football, but that's happened. So do I wish that the Civil War was an absolute focal point of this week's slate? Yes, I do. But even I'm thinking about Oregon-Penn State more so than that game. And I don't like myself for it. I'm going to go shatter every mirror in my apartment so I don't have to look at myself. But, yeah, that's even where my head's at. So I can't blame them.
Yeah. Winner of Utah-Texas Tech, the Big 12 winner in your estimation?
Any other conference, I would say yes. And the Big 12, I would still probably say yes. It's just I've learned don't assume things about that conference because it's crazy. I will say, what kind of twisted storyline would it be if we get separation in the Big 12? There is a clear 1-2 or 1-2-3, and it's another conference like the SEC that looks like the Big 12 where everything's just blended at the top. I think I just wrote a segment for tonight's show, by the way. Man, you guys always help me on this.
There you go.
Is the SEC the new Big 12? What a headline. Hey, what a thumbnail that'll be. That'll drive those clicks and drive that engagement. But, yeah, I think so. I think you're looking at the best O-line versus D-line matchup in that league this year. Hmm. I mean, I was talking to Joey McGuire, who, for the unfamiliar, is the head coach at Texas Tech, and he said, you know, what I love about our team is we imported all these guys. Everyone thinks it's a bunch of mercenaries, and it's not. I'm in the building. They aren't. Like, I get it. But he said, we got multiple guys who started for us on D-line last year that were good that are not going to start for us this year. And it's not that they're bad character. It's not that they're hurt. It's not that they left. We recruited over them, and they've handled it well. And I'm like, all right, well, we'll see. You know, when the live action starts in the fall, well, this is kind of it because you're going to go on the road in Salt Lake City, 10 a.m. kickoff. McDonald's still serving breakfast when the biggest game in your conference kicks off. Phenomenal planning.
Well,
I've got Texas Tech slightly in that game, but really I don't have a feel for it. I'm just going to enjoy watching it.
It's going to be a good one, man. I'm looking forward to the slate this weekend. You'll be in Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm looking forward to the show tonight with the Dirt and Sprague, my guys out in the West Coast. Yeah. Shout out on that show. It's going to be fantastic. Josh Pate, Josh Pate College Football Show on YouTube, at Josh Pate CFBB in Lincoln with Bussin' with the Boys. Thank you so much, Pate State University, for making a kindly stop and talking college ball with us.
I appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
All right, there we go. Good stuff. Josh Pate of the Josh Pate College Football Show. He'll have his episode tonight, and then he'll peruse around college football. We've been Lincoln. He'll experience what it's like to be at Memorial Stadium, right?
Memorial Stadium.
And
Lincoln,
then
Nebraska.
You'll get his feedback, because I do think it's going to register on the loud meter for him of environments
for sure.
He's been at. Again, yeah. My ears were ringing when they got one of those big crucial stops of Oregon in 2016.
And this is a time when that fan base is truly believing that this is the year. This is the moment. This is a game that they have to have. The atmosphere when they beat Colorado was incredible last year. A lot of that had to do with, one, the rivalry, the Deion stuff. They lost the game the year before in Boulder. This one is going to be probably on another level, especially if they win or they look good doing it. It's going to be outrageous how loud it gets. I love the idea there at the end of that segment, too, of, like, who is the best team in the SEC? Probably Georgia, your answer right now, but I don't know if we feel great about that. Texas was supposed to be it. They haven't looked great. Tennessee looks better than I thought. Alabama's already lost a game. Do we trust LSU's offense with an injury to the quarterback? Like, the SEC is very interesting this year.
What was the thing you introduced him to last year that he ended up using?
Pucker meter.
Pucker meter?
Pucker meter. Yeah, where's the pucker meter at for ups? You know, where's your pucker meter at?
I'm going to put it at plus money here. Do we finally get a shout out on the program?
Yeah, he just kind of stole the pucker meter from us, you know. But he's doing free, yeah. You know. He comes on the show. He doesn't ask for anything, and so we just gave him
a segment idea.
We just gave him a segment idea.
That's a pretty big deal.
I will be tuned in as I am on every Thursday to see what he says tonight.
Good stuff. Our good friend Josh Pate on Twitter at Josh Pate CFB. Loaded third hour of the program. Bill Riley of Utah will join us at 8:30. We'll get his read on this weekend's big Nooner game.
Where are they feeling about a 10 a.m. kick time? That's brutal.
Outrageous.
But also the race in the Big 12, a check-in on our old friend Kyle Whittingham with Bill Riley at 8:30. It's a loaded third hour Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.